It is 46 minutes after 7 o'clock on a Wednesday morning, 24th day of June. Julie and James in.
Good morning.
Morning.
In June. James, Julie, June.
Bob.
Yeah, I know, right? 1891 on the history date book in Wyoming. For the first time, Chief Justice of the Wyoming Supreme Court performed a wedding in the state capitol building. Just letting you know that.
I didn't know that was a thing that they could do.
I guess.
Supreme Court justices do weddings, I guess.
Uh-huh. If you send in your $45, you can marry anybody, James.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Just saying.
Add me to the list.
Just saying. All right, daybook 1771. Eleuther DuPont, French industrialist, was born. DuPont Chemical Company. 1771. 1777, British explorer Sir John Ross. Now, that's a better name. Located the North Pole.
Hmm.
The North Magnetic Pole.
Yeah.
He was born in 1777. Inventor Thomas Blanchard in 1788. He was born and he did machine tools. Thomas Blanchard. 1839. Cool. Manufacturer Gustavus Franklin Swift founded Swift and Company.
I don't know what that is either.
They did refrigerated rail cars.
Oh.
So they could transport meat across the U.S.
Cool.
Swift and Company. Mick Fleetwood. Fleetwood Mac.
Mm. Isn't it Mac? No, it's Mick. You're right.
Mick.
Yeah.
Mac Fleetwood.
It's called Fleetwood Mac. He just refers to it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's where I was getting that.
You're a little dyslexic there. That's all right.
Mick Fleetwood Mac is his name. His full name.
Fleetwood was his middle name.
Yeah.
Right.
Mick Fleetwood Mac. All
right. Mick Fleetwood Mac.
Mick Fleetwood.
Sounds like an owner of a burger joint.
79 today.
Hmm.
Do you remember what instrument he played? What he did?
Drums.
Yes. Very good.
Yeah.
I did not.
He does play.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that he played the drums. 1497, the first recorded sighting of North America by a European took place when explorer John Cabot, on a voyage for England, spotted land. But there were figures probably present-day Canada. And he claimed the land for England, which is now Newfoundland.
Oh.
1892, Robert Ford, gunned down, Creed, Colorado Saloon. 10 years earlier, as a new recruit in the Jesse James gang, he had killed Jesse for a $10,000 reward.
Wow.
Yeah.
The Wild West of 1892. 1951, the first color TV premiered. New York City.
51.
Wow.
Yeah. Cool.
The first one. They weren't household till quite a while later.
No, and the color TV sets did not catch on until like 1970.
Yeah, I was like, we didn't have one.
Wonder why.
Till like the 80s, if then. I don't even remember.
People like to see in black and white, I guess.
So growing up, we had...
It's probably really expensive.
Probably. And huge.
Growing up, I remember early on, we had a black and white TV. Then we bought a color TV. Mm-hmm. Which we thought was cool. And
was it the big console? Remember those? I loved those TVs.
And then the tube would burn out. You'd have to call somebody to replace the tube.
So heavy.
Yeah. And then we had two channels. We were on rabbit ears. Basically a big TV antenna on top of the roof.
We've kind of gone back to that, unfortunately.
I know, right?
Less expensive to do that.
Wow. 1997, the Air Force released a report on the so-called Roswell incident.
Mm.
That was 1997, suggesting alien bodies reported seen in 1947 were actually life-size dummies.
You know, I've been to that museum.
I know you have. I was going to ask you.
I strongly recommend that people go see it. Because
in Roswell.
In Roswell. Because it's equal parts cheesy. You know, you're greeted by big aliens in a spaceship. But it's equal parts very interesting facts and artifacts.
Okay.
I'd go back.
She'd go back. They're releasing all stuff, kinds of stuff here from the government.
Yeah. I mean,
nothing that really, you know.
Unless an alien is walking up and handshaking the members of Congress, I'm kind of still like, you know, I guess they're out there. Who knows?
You know, are
they gotta be.
Are
we can't be alone.
Are we alone? I don't think we are, to be honest with you.
There's no way.
It'd be real depressing if we were.
I think it's just a...
I don't think we are, whatever that life form may be, yeah. microbial or whatever, otherwise, or somebody like you and I.
Yeah.
I don't know. But...
There's plenty of theories.
Lots of theories out there. But the footage that they have released, I've seen some of that, you know, and it's like, okay, that's interesting.
Sure. Again, it's one of those things where I'm like, I got to see the... But is the being or whatever that is doing it.
Right.
Yeah, but all that aside, no matter what, even if we've never had sightings, to think we're the only ones here with the vast diversity of living animals
and things.
How can there not be, whether or not they're visiting us or not?
That's one of the theories. One of the theories is that we're incredibly early. Like we're like one of the only species or planets that is this far ahead in its evolution, essentially. That's one of the theories.
Interesting.
All right. We'll get off our coast to coast.
Yeah.
Story. This is good. I mean, it is interesting with the expanse of knowledge that we have of the galaxy at this point and all the tools. Oh. It is kind of crazy that we haven't found a single planet that's like ours, essentially, in terms of vast cities and economy and stuff like that, you know? It's interesting.
I think we're all far apart for a reason.
Yeah, but probably.
Yeah, maybe so.
You know what else is weird is if you look at rocks, they look like...
And we know you do.
I do. They look like the galaxy. They look like space when, you know, all the Milky Way.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
It is. You look at the Egyptian by Robert Handy. Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
All right. World UFO Day today. So,
oh.
And you look at the Egyptian. It's interesting, though. You look at the Egyptian hieroglyphics and some of the markings that they have. It's like, wow.
If we were seeing it now, they had to have been seeing it back then. I mean,
yeah,
but it might just take that long to get.
Yeah.
It might take a gazillion light years.
All right. Well, maybe someday. Maybe someday we'll get the real.
That would be a big day in history.
It would be a big day in history. Celebration of the senses today.
Like S-E-N-S-E-S?
Like smell and eyesight.
Not, like the, not the, the ones where they knock on the door and say, hey, how many people in your house?
Right. I really like that job.
That'd be interesting.
I don't think they do that much anymore.
They probably don't have to. Yeah.
They don't have to because it's like if you do, you know, you might. First of all, people probably won't answer their door.
Yeah. Well, it's easier.
Second of all, you think you're creepy. You know, what's wrong with you?
You can kind of...
They already know everything.
I was going to say, they can kind of track it at this point.
It's already known.
Hey, today is Museum Comes to Life Day.
Yes.
Great museums.
We have so many great museums.
I love it. I love our museums. If you haven't been to any of them...
You should.
Yeah, go. They're really cool. Pralines.
I like pralines.
I do, too.
I don't even know what those are.
It's caramel, nuts, chocolate.
I like them in ice cream.
Maybe some, isn't there like a pretzel component?
Caramels, what is it, pralines and caramel?
Yeah.
Pralines and crunch or something like that, that's an ice cream. Ooh, that's a
kind of off topic, but I was reading something the other day that I wanted to bring up on the morning, on this show.
Okay.
I'm reading a book that was written in the late 90s, I think. And I realized as they were talking about this character, he's wearing a button-down shirt with a pocket protector. And I realized as I was reading it, I was like, I have no idea what that is. I don't think I've ever seen a pocket protector on anybody on the front of a shirt.
It's true.
I don't know what that looks like or what it...
It
like,
was the things for your pens so they wouldn't mess up your shirt.
But plenty of people still have the hole on their shirt and they'll put pens there, but...
There's no pocket.
Right.
There's no little pocket.
I have no idea what that looks like.
Wasn't it just a plastic
thing? I've had to trash a few shirts because it didn't have a...
Because it
didn't have the little protection from the ink and got on my shirt. And I was like, oh, no. Yeah.
Was it like a little plastic thing, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Really thin piece of plastic.
Yeah, a real thin piece of plastic.
I have no idea.
One now? No, I would not.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I just don't know what it looked like. I mean...
You just wouldn't wear it.
Also... Have people,
sounds like they're profiling.
I guess. Oh, they are. They definitely are. He's kind of geeked out a little bit in the book. But I'm like, have pens just gotten better at not leaking, or is it?
I don't think
we
so.
We just don't do it anymore because of what we created. This as part of like geekhood, essentially, or whatever.
And it's always that favorite shirt. I can't tell you how many of the two shirts I love that I was like, you got to be kidding me. And then trying to get it out. And,
never done that. Never worn it. Never seen them.
Now you've been, really?
I think I might still have one.
You have imagine to put one that.
On. Yeah.
To be honest with you. Okay. You've been to the Everglades. You used to live in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Did we go to the Everglades?
I've been there. I don't know if you have.
Yeah, I don't know. We've been to plenty of parks.
Alligator
down
Alley.
There. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Official Everglades.
A conservancy in Southwest Florida set a record by removing invasive Burmese pythons from the Everglades this season. They said the roundup, they garnered 4 ton.
Not surprised at all.
Yeah, they're, yeah. People it's like kind of crazy that they are invasive because they're perfect for that environment.
Yeah.
The largest one they got was 160 pounds.
I thought you were going to say feet.
160 pounds. It was 17 feet.
That's a big one.
That's big boy. Wow.
2.5, 4 tons.
Nothing to mess with.
Yeah.
And they're out of control. They said that's just, I mean, they just barely tapped it.
I was going to say, yeah, for each of those, they lay about 4 eggs, essentially.
Do you ever look on your gas tank to find out, you've probably driven your vehicles long enough for you know what side the gas tank's on, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Have you ever looked at your gas gauge?
Yeah.
To see.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
You see the little arrow?
The little arrow. It's pointing to which side the gas tank is on.
Julie's shaking her head no.
No.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably a little arrow on your fuel tank.
Not the fuel tank, the actual indicator.
I'm looking at it. There's no arrow on my fuel tank.
But most people don't know what that arrow does. It tells you which side your gas tank is on.
Yeah, so you don't...
Right?
Yeah, you don't drive up on the wrong side.
Former Ford engineer Jim Moylan pulled a company car up to a gas station wrong side. He wonders, like, well, how don't you know?
How am I supposed to know?
He was the one that adopted the idea back in 1989, never sold it to him.
Yeah.
Never gave him the idea. And then, of course, every car manufacturer, he could have patented that.
Oh.
He did not. He made that mistake back in the 80s.
Thank goodness he didn't, though, because now every car has it.
He recently passed away, never patented, never sought recognition, didn't want it, and never received compensation for it.
Not the compensation part. Good for him for not taking that.
They call it the Moylan Arrow.
Hmm.
The Moylan Arrow. Check out your gas gauge, Julie.
You'll have it on.
I mean,
there.
Don't you know where it is because you got the thing that you put the gas in?
Well, yeah, but it's more theoretical for like if you're driving a rental car. Oh. You're like, oh, which side is it on?
Well, I just look in my rear view mirror, my side view mirror, and if the thing's not there, I know it's on the other side.
Some people think it's, I mean, it just depends on the manufacturer. I know some Hondas have it on the left, some Hondas have it on the right. It's weird.
So how many people right now driving are looking at their dashboard to find the arrow? It's there. I believe it's in most areas.
Are
you going to look now? Yeah. All right. You're going to look. So, and speaking of driving, it passed through Sheridan and we missed it. It got pulled over in Montana. It was a giant banana car.
Oh, really?
When did it go
by? I don't know. Just recently, driver Steve Brayworth was pulled over near Billings on I-90. Because two boxes were partially blocking his license plate, which read split. No ticket was issued. Troopers shared it on Facebook. 23-foot vehicle constructed by him from a chassis of a 1993 Ford F-150, traveling companion for over a decade.
23 feet.
Yes. He recently sold all of his possessions and lives full-time on the road in the banana car. They call him the banana car nomad. He was headed west toward an art car parade in Seattle.
Okay.
There you go.
What a calling.
I know.
Nothing like it.
I want to drive a banana around the rest of my life, right?
It's that or the weenie cars.
Oh,
gotta make your pick. Yeah.
All right. Look for the air.